Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
People only had one way to make money when the pandemic started, and they didn't have enough liquidity. Okay, so you've got to be able to pivot and learn how to serve people.
We should remember that good fortune often happens when opportunity meets with preparation. Thomas A. Edison. Hello, my peak performer. How are you doing? It is episode 212 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast, and I look forward to an amazing time that I'm going to be having with my guest, Curtis May. Of course, I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Curtis is the host of the Practical Wealth Show podcast and the creator and owner of Practical Wealth Advisors. Curtis has been planning for individuals for more than 35 years, and he is passionate about helping his clients save money and live the very best life they can right now. The primary focus of his financial planning firm is to help individuals and families become financially free by following the principles of wealth creation that have endured for centuries around the world. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
I'm so glad to be on. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely.
I love talking to entrepreneurs. You know, I'm a third generation business owner. You know, I always tell people I never got that go to school, get a good job talk. My dad told me you'll never make any money working for somebody else. So I heard that from the time I was seven.
Oh, nice. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation then that we're going to be having on winning wealth creation strategies, the four components of the ideal financial plan. Of course, before we dive in, Curtis, I like to ask my guests something about Jamaica because I'm so in love with my country and I just like to hear people talk about Jamaica, right? So,
all right.
Do you know anything about Jamaica from the news, from friends, from, I don't know, any Jamaican roots, any Jamaican connections?
Well, we went on our honeymoon there.
I like that. Quite a number of guests have done that. Yes.
Yeah. Where my wife is an attorney. She does immigration. So she's got a very eclectic, one of the areas of her practice, immigration. We had her assistant. She moved back home recently. She was Jamaican. So we love Jamaican food. it's all good. So yeah. That, you know, we're familiar with her. Her and her sister brought us over for our authentic dinner with the plantains and the jerk chicken and the whole thing.
You're an honorary Jamaican, Curtis. Okay.
Yeah. There we go. Right. The whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cool. All right. So you started off by telling me that your dad, from the age of seven, give you the talk about don't go working for nobody because that's not where your wealth creation is going to come from. And it's quite not the conversation that we are used to hearing. We're used to hearing, as you alluded to, go to school, do good so you can get a great job and come out and, you know, you work, then you retire. And that's life. In fact, that's the American dream, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, because it, you know, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so you say I was in the business 35 years, but I've only recently learned that what I had been teaching the first 20 was wrong. And I, you know, I read a little book called Rich Dad Poor Dad.
What
he's talking about is not what I'm doing.
Yeah, right.
And because I was, you know, teach people buy term invested difference, max out your 401k and get a Roth IRA and mutual funds were end all be all. Mm-hmm. And that is very bad. I hate to say that because it's very bad advice. And it's very bad if you're an entrepreneur, right? So like I always tell people 98% of most of the financial advice out there is it will lead to inaccurate results. You won't get where you want to go there. I'm trying to be nice. But it's worse for entrepreneurs. You can see most advice out there is designed for employees.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really think that I need to have Robert Kiyosaki or maybe Sharon on the show because, you know, for every person who tells me that they've read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and of course, my life transformed the moment that I read that book, my perspective shifted, you know, perhaps I'm not even abiding by all the strategies that he mentioned and all the things that he mentioned, but for one, it did change my mindset towards work and towards, you know, business and money and all of that. So that's a good thing. And you have had that from the age of 7. And yet, though, you were kind of, for 20 years, you said you were teaching the wrong thing. Now, what was that revelation looking like for you? And what did you do when you recognized, hey, but you know, I'm actually leading people down the wrong path? And it's not intentional. It's just because we are all parts of the system. We've been brainwashed by it. And so we follow it. So talk us through that transformation, that transition.
Yeah, it's funny because I did the best I knew. I was very evangelical. I was terrified about giving bad advice. So I did the best I could with the information I had, but I didn't have all the information. If your bread is buttered somewhere, it's hard to let that go. And you're in an organization where they all think one way, but you know, Curtis's philosophy is that the majority is usually wrong. So I don't really have a problem going a different way. But one of the things that I learned, so most advice boils down to, as I understand it now, I couldn't codify it like this then, but most of it is boiled down to what we call in our system, the accumulation theory, right? And so when you hear things like buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt, buy term investor difference, dollar cost averaging, portfolio rebalancing, tax-free retirement, all magic of compound interest, the rule of 72, it seems reasonable that, all right, I'm going to work, I'm going to put money into these equities, and I'm going to, you know, work, and then surely these smart money managers are going to have this big pile of money so that at 65 I can retire, which is a bad idea also, because that doesn't work, and I'll be able to live off of, without working, for the next 35 years off this big pile of money. Now, fast forward, most people at 65 have maybe, I'm probably being generous, have about $100,000 in their qualified plans, in their 401ks. So that's a result of the accumulation theory. Most people are in debt, they average $10,000-$15,000 credit card debt. They save less than 5% of their income. You know, what people think are saving, putting money in their mutual funds or their 401ks or their, depending on where you are, you know, but your qualified plans, government sponsored plans, you think that's saving because Wall Street has changed the definition that you're really investing. And I could argue that you're not even investing. You're really speculating with the majority of your money. So that's the kind of stuff I find out. And then if you start studying, and this is what we talk about, you know, principle-based planning, you start studying what the institutions do with their money and what wealthy people do. This is what I started to, because if you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, what people get frustrated with it because it's not very tactical, right? Do this. People want.
Do this, do that. The roadmap.
Yeah, do this, do that. It's what we do have, right? So tell me what to do so I can have this. But Rich Dad Poor Dad is really a book about accounting. It's about being, not about doing.
Doing,
right?
Absolutely.
See, because you know, people say, well, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'll go, what's chapter one? Pay yourself first? Wrong. You know, chapter one is rich people don't work for money. Okay. And see, so they don't try to find a better job. They're not trying to work overtime. They work to build or buy assets that generate income, whether they get out of bed or not. So, you know, your goal is to become financial freedom is you got passive income greater than your expenses. So now if you ask yourself, does the accumulation theory take you there, right? Because what's the goal of the finance? They always talk about assets under management and those type of things. But how does the firm having $5 billion under management help their clients become rich? That's not their goal.
Yes.
Okay. Their goal is to charge you fees for the rest of your life.
Yes, yes. I mean? Come on, so come on. And it's particularly if you're in the Jamaican environment.
Yes. So their goal is to charge you fees for the rest of your life. And so what you got to ask yourself, is that what you want? So when you look at investing, and if you say, well, look, what do you want? So it starts with what do you want to do when you grow up, right? So if you want work options, I work at business owners. Our goal is to help them create, our people are like, you know, families, real estate investors, business owners, with the goal of creating at some point in their career, we try to do it in 10 years or less, work optional income, meaning that you've got from your assets, you know, past income greater than your expenses. So now, if you start with that, here is what I'm trying to do. Where are the things that you're doing going to do that? So you have to start with what you want. So nobody ever think about what they want and why. And so how does the mutual fund do that? Mutual funds don't earn compound interest. Mutual funds appreciate and they depreciate. Okay. They don't, you know, so when you look at the rule of 72 and people will show you, here's how long it takes money to double. And they'll show you a prospectus where this fund has done 12%. That's an average. That's meaningless. Okay. That's not money. And see, so it's, and most advisors don't even know that. A lot of the people that, you know, talk about this stuff, they don't know that. That's what I realized. I was like, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I was pissed.
Right.
Once I started pulling it all together. Yes. Right. And so and then the other side of it, let me finish this thought, is that the what I call the accumulation theory. So you ever watch Hinnicup Shark Tank?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
The velocity method. So we teach the velocity method. So velocity money is just an economic principle talking about the movement of money. How times, how much can you make that same dollar turnover? So if you look at Mr. Wonderful, what does he always want to know? Listen, if I'm going to invest $500,000 in your company, his first question is what? How soon am I going to get my money back?
Which is reasonable. Right? Which is reasonable.
Right. And so they don't focus on rate of return. He wants to see if you get all your money back, what's your risk in that deal? Nothing. Right. Because you've gotten all your money off the table. Now, is that deal still throwing off, you know, profits and cash flow? Yes. And what does he do with that 500? Move it into something else. And then he gets that back and move it into something else. And so that's velocity. Right. And so while institutions are teaching you buy and hold, you leave it here, invest for the long term, they're creating velocity through trading in and out of stocks, through, you know, buying up other businesses. And the other thing they focus on is cash flow. Right. They focus on leverage. I call this this is what corporate finance focuses on, right? Leverage. So, for example, where you're taught to get out of debt, when you're paying extra on your mortgage, all you're doing is giving away your capital to the financial institution, creating safety for them and creating velocity for them. Because when you pay extra money on your 15-year mortgage, you're just giving them their money back so they can loan it back up to somebody else. See. So one of the things, if you're in entrepreneurial land, you got to understand the game. It's hard to win a game you don't know the rules. So you're out there working for money, building your businesses, but you don't understand that if you don't understand the game of when that money hits your account, are you a good steward of it? Do you know how it works? Are you keeping it? You know, Rich Dad Poor Dad, the third lesson is mind your own business. Once you get something in your asset column, you got to never let it out. Right. And so that's critical. So we talk about leverage. See, leverage means if you had $100,000 cash and you had $100,000 debt, let's say mortgage, are you in debt for my people that want to pay their house off early? Okay. I don't want no debt. You know, our dollar's debt. Okay. So if you want to get out of debt, you're saying, I want to get out of money. And so what we teach is that is the balance sheet neutral decision. So a corporation would look at that as a balance sheet neutral decision. They would not take their $100,000 and pay off the debt because all their working capital is gone, right? And then, whereas in the financial world, they teach buy term investor difference. You know, this is I won't go deep in this today, but what the financial institutions use like permanent insurance. Banks use life insurance, for example, as where they store cash that makes up their tier one capital. But the funny thing is, and this is what I found out, those strategies, the velocity method and what the strategies that corporate America use work in personal finance and they're safer, but they have a vested interest in you not knowing that, you know, and so you just got to unpeel it's been a 10, 12 year journey, 15 year journey of really understanding that and really getting good at, you know, breaking it down for people to understand, okay, you know, we're getting not all the truth here and let's figure this out because it's just not that complicated. I tell people, look, 2 + 2 = 4. And this is not that deep. You know, you can do this because the financial world teaches you you're not smart enough. You don't have the time, the temperament or training to personally manage your money. So in so many words, the whole financial world is saying, give your money to us and you got to maintain control. See, the first thing successful and wealthy people want is they want control of the asset.
Let me come in right here because you have said a lot. And the truth is a lot of that too is applicable for the US scene. I mean, generally, I know that some of these principles are applicable to everyone as it relates to wealth and financial management. But we want to now get into, because you're debunking all that you've practiced for many years and what the system teaches us and so on. We want to get to the point where, you know, tell us about, based on, you know, your own experience and expertise now, the four components of the ideal financial plan that you think everyone should put in place, because I'm hungry for this information. So too is my community. And we want to hear from you as the expert how to get this all together, right? I'm in that space. I'm open. So too, again, are my community members.
Right. So it's really simple. Okay. And so when you're designing the ideal financial plan, it's four main objectives. So the first goal is to build maximum wealth. All right. So, and a lot of people don't have that goal, but see, the trick is, so let me give a little context to that. Most people think the key to grow their money is investing, to find better investments that pay a higher rate of return. Okay. But the only way to do that, for the most part, especially the way we've been trained to do it, is to take on more risk. Okay. If you're going to create maximum wealth, the first thing you have to do is create maximum efficiency with your money, because most wealth is lost two ways. One, so here's a definite doer. I ask my clients, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself on how you manage cash flow in your household, in your business. See, most people don't do that well. So you got to get control of your money, and you got to, you got to tell your money where to go instead of asking where it went. So you got to start with that. Okay. You got to get pen and paper or some calculator or some cash flow management tool, and you've got to track your inflow and your outgo. So that's one. The second thing is what we call wealth transfers or wealth eroders. So there's like 20. I'm just going to give you the top five, and you got to, and everybody doesn't have all five, but you've got to look at these things: how you pay your mortgage, taxes, how you fund. Do you have like qualified plans, retirement plans?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay. So how you fund your retirement plans, how you pay for like college or educational expenses, and how you pay for major capital purchases. So a major capital purchase or big ticket item is anything you can't pay for in full with monthly cash flow. Okay. So there's more wealth lost in those five things than you can ever pick trying to pick winning investments. Okay. So you want to go deeper in one or two of those, or?
Let's look at the retirement plan, for example.
Okay. So in the U.S. anyway, so retirement plans do two things. Okay. They defer taxes. Okay. They don't save you money in taxes. They defer taxes. Okay. But the more accurate word, Henneke, is postpone taxes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they postpone the tax calculation. And so we have a saying. I said, listen, if you were a farmer and I gave you the choice of, I'm going to give you a tax break on your seed that you plant in the ground. So you might have this little bushel of corn or whatever you're planting, but I want to tax your harvest, the whole field of, you know, whatever you're growing, and which is bigger, right, than the seed. And I'll let you know how much I need when I come back of your harvest. Okay. Or would you rather pay tax on the seed and get your harvest tax free?
I think the latter.
The latter, right? Most people choose the latter, but everybody does the former. Okay. And because that's how qualified plans work. So you're getting a tax break on the seed, your money's growing tax deferred. And so you have to ask yourself, look at the world and say, do I think in the future, will my taxes be higher, lower, or the same?
Right. I'm with you. Of course, the taxes are going to change.
They're going to change. See, I would say if you look at stimulus and inflation and all that stuff, the governments of the world don't have any money. So if you can create a pool of money where you control the rules, that you can change the rules whenever you want, that's where there's just trillions of dollars in qualified plans where you don't control the rules. And so you'll hear for people that are selling it, because I used to say this, well, you know, taxes, when you turn 65, taxes don't go down. No, they're not. Okay. Only way your taxes go, they don't turn out and go down because you turn 65. They go down because you're poor. Okay. Because you make less money.
You make less money. Absolutely.
You make less money. And is that your plan? Is that what you want? And you're paying for that advice? I don't know. That's suspect. And see, so that's what you have to look at. So should you do that? I only let people fund it. Let's say you're still working and you have your business on the side. I only let people fund that money to the match. Okay. And then past that, you need liquidity because, see, the fundamental problem is lack of capital on an individual basis. We don't have any money. So you're looking for mass marketed things, mutual funds. Whereas if you had money, if you were a good saver and you had 50,000, 100,000, you're doing your business to capitalize yourself, you don't even have to look for opportunities. They're going to find you because you have money.
Absolutely. Can we move on now to number three?
Yes. So number three, well, two is to be able to enjoy all the, utilize all the wealth you created. So I want you to live the best life you can right now. So if you can save 15-20% of your income, I don't care what you do with the rest. You know, I want you to go on vacation every year because if you're in business, I got this from Dan Sullivan, if until you double your time off, you will not double your income because you are have to recharge your battery. So that's principle two. Principle three is to create a system that will transfer the wealth that you created to your family and to charities, preferably tax-free on a tax advantage basis, because we want people to create legacy. Okay. I think that's really important that we don't talk about. And then the fourth principle is that the plan has got to work under all circumstances. It's got to work no matter what. You can't have a plan that only works when the sun is shining. You know, when the markets are up, you know, markets move up, markets move down, markets move sideways. And so if you're going to be a good manager of your money, a good steward of your money, you've got to be able to make money in all three. So that's my general, here are the four objectives of the ideal plan, the four rules. And then what I do, Henneke, is we teach the five principles of personal finance. And then that's where we get into specific stuff. But let me take a breath.
Right. Because I know you're very passionate, Curtis, about what you're doing. And, you know, you could talk about it on and on and on. And that's fine, you know, because you know your stuff and you're really passionate about it. And we are pretty much coming to the end of our conversation. Yes, actually, because
time flies indeed.
we talked about what obtained, what has been the status quo. And then we moved into these four principles that you want us to look at in terms of, and I know that we really are just, you know, touching the tip of the iceberg because there's just so much more detail that we could get into, right? And so this conversation really creates space so that further conversation can be had offline, you know, off this podcast once my community connects with you. But before I give you the opportunity to share your contact details and to share, you know, the freebie that you have for a community, I want you to just give us your final thoughts. So you've talked about these four things, the building of maximum wealth and looking at the wealth transfer, creating a system to create this transfer and to have a plan that work under all circumstances. And I think I'd want you to wrap on number four. What do we consider when we to develop a plan, a financial plan that will work under all circumstances, including a pandemic, including a loss of job, including, you know, business crumbling and all of that? How does one do that?
Good. So what happens is that moves us into what we teach tactically, specifically the principle. So one is, so think about this. You have to diversify your ability to make money. One of the two things I saw is that people only had one way to make money when the pandemic started and they didn't have enough liquidity. Okay. So you've got to be able to pivot and learn how to serve people. You know, your money follows value. So you've got to learn how to figure out what you do, how it creates money, value in the marketplace, and the revenue you receive is in exchange for creating value. So you've got to constantly work on getting better and how you do that. That's marketing. Okay. So that's one. So principle one, we teach out of that revenue, you've got to save at least 15% of your gross income. And I mean save. I don't mean put in a qualified plan. I mean liquid cash. You can touch it. You can touch it. And there's a special place where we use that, but that's another meeting. Two is you have to play defense, which is maximum protection. So you need to review your insurances. Do you have, you know, full replacement costs? Do you have disability? Do you have your will? Do you have proper entities? Do you have adequate life insurance, liability coverage? You've got to look at that. So everybody wants to skip that step because it's not sexy, but you've got to play defense. Principle three goes back to legacy. You want to get with somebody that can help you look at, you know, make sure you can replace 100% of your assets, preferably tax-free at death. And then principle four, this is where people got hurt in the pandemic, is as you're working, as you're saving, what's your goal? Really 6 to 12 months of cash. So I've got clients that have enough cash that they could not earn an income for like a year and a half and they'd be fine. Okay. Cause we focus on capitalization. And then the principle, fifth principle, and this is part of what I'm going to give people access to, is what we call the velocity method. But the key is to focus on assets that you control, buying assets that generate investment income. And then your number one investment is your business. So, you know, if you think about this, looking at the pandemic, what we teach is your number one investment is you, right? So it's not outside of you. Most of the world is telling you to give your money to somebody else. You need to invest in between your two ears and your mindset, your skill set. That's what makes money in your network. And then your number one investment is your businesses, right? And which is investing in marketing, sales, systems, and people. That is what moves the needle in terms of creating safety, creating a plan that works, whether the sun is out or not, because you have control of the situation. You can influence the outcome. If you can't influence it, you're not investing, you're speculating.
All right. So, and how do we get that giveaway?
So the report that we have is called The Creating Wealth Using the Velocity of Money. And it's actually an excerpt from, or we kind of rewrote from Kiyosaki's book, Who Took My Money? And it is text. So get your cell phones out. You can just text PWELTH, P-W-E-L-T-H, short for Practical Wealth, to 55444.
55444.
And then you'll get it. Okay. Yeah, it'll get emailed to you.
Okay, awesome sauce. All right, so how can our community get in touch with you, Curtis?
Well, one, check out the Practical Wealth Show. You can hear more of the madness that is Curtis. And, you know, our YouTube channel. And then if you can actually go to my site, practicalwealthadvisors.com. And, you know, we have a little intro video on there. And if you like, we try to, if you're really inspired, you can, you know, set up a time to talk for us for 15, 20 minutes. And one of our coaches, no obligation, just you can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, so it's practicalwealthadvisors.com, right?
Correct.
Awesome sauce. Curtis May has been my guest this week on the Entrepreneurial You podcast. Curtis, I just want to thank you so much. I know we didn't get a chance to go deep, but there's just so much and we really didn't have the time to go really deep as we'd want to. But at least we have started the conversation and we can pick up, you know, by connecting with you off this podcast. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me. It's a big conversation. So, you know, we love it. And I'm all about education. So really educate yourselves.
Absolutely.
Because you are your best financial advisor. That's my main message.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, my peak performer, for tuning into this episode with Curtis May. I certainly look forward to connecting with you next week. But before I even talk about what I want to share in terms of podcasting and so on, I just want to say, for me, what stood out most from, you know, these four components of the financial plan that we need to be building is the fact that, one, we need to create a system that allows the wealth that we've created to be transferred. So legacy, we can have a legacy. You know, those that come behind us will find us faithful. And we need to have a plan that work under all circumstances, not just in the good times, but under all circumstances. Another poignant and salient point that Curtis mentioned was that money follows value. Believe me, that is solid, that is profound. And I trust that this episode has been insightful, inspirational, but most of all, educational for you. So until we connect again next week when I bring another awesome guest onto the Entrepreneurial You podcast, I want you to connect with me on HenikaWatkisPorter.com for all things podcasting, books, coaching, online course, whether you want a podcast produced, anything podcasting, just check me out and I will make sure that I have you all sorted out. Now, you can send me a WhatsApp from that homepage and it will come directly to my phone. As I close with my point of hope, here's it for this week. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but his patience toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Take care. Walk good.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.